All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be going through Microsoft Viva. And with us today, we have a guest, Adam Hurmitz, who is a partner director at Microsoft, to give us a high-level discussion about Microsoft Viva. So thank you, Adam, for coming on. Really appreciate it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey at Microsoft?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. So I've been at Microsoft for 16 years, supposed to be one, but here I am, 15 years more than that. Worked on SharePoint in Office my entire career. Also not the plan, but I keep just loving the area. I've expanded scope. And as you all know, there's so many different nooks and crannies of SharePoint and Office to be able to work in that I can get the diversity I need, but sort of establish the connections and deep love of the product and the customers and the community. So today it's an interesting transition. I would say I'm the title is the, head of the product for user experience of SharePoint, but more and more that is being surfaced within Microsoft Viva. So I'm also a member of the leadership team of that shepherding Viva, which is really a cross company effort along. And I think about all of that area, especially on Viva Connections, Viva Topics, but I guess we'll get into those modules in a second.
Yeah, so speaking of that, there's four modules with Viva. So there's Insights, Learning, Connections, and Topics. So maybe just at a high level, maybe give us an understanding about why was Viva developed or why were the modules sort of put together to provide the functionality that they do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, like you said, maybe before we talk about the individual modules, just the big picture of Viva. It was one of the first enterprise products to be born during the pandemic. And we all, experienced that with customers, and we all experienced it ourselves. I was all of a sudden forced to work remotely and with teams across the world and figure out what that meant and new concepts like languishing and convergent all those types of things, resilience and how to come together as a team and what that meant. And saw as a manager myself the need to focus more on my employees' well-being. And there's just this fantastic opportunity, I think, for us as a community and certainly Microsoft as a company with the products we have to help our customers with that. Like more than anything else, Viva puts, the employee at the center and thinks about how they want to be connected to their organization and how the organization can provide a bunch of tools and support to be able to do that. And, the choice of Microsoft Viva, a new brand, like we often talk internally, pretty boldly, it's like a pure Microsoft 365, like Microsoft 365 is for productivity, helping people get stuff done. And Microsoft Viva is the stuff that allows you to feel connected and feel part of something larger and part of the culture of your organization. And of course, Viva is experienced within Microsoft 365, so it's it's in the flow of work. But that is our long-term ambition level. The reason it was created is really to say, hey, Microsoft, we saw an opportunity steeped in what our customers were telling us to help with that problem. It is absolutely a multi-year journey. The four modules that begin the journey are existing modules for the most part that were in Microsoft 365 already, but now get a new focus and a new desire to work cohesively together. But there'll be other modules as time goes by, and those modules will get more connected.
Awesome. So I know that's good, really good segue into my next question would be, given that the modules were already there, are they more geared to be complementary to each other? Or are they sort of in their own individual silos? And is there a plan to continue that growth for, I guess, communication between the modules?
Yeah, let's like most technical business strategies, this is a new suite. And so we are committed to having best of breed category leadership, meaning every module will be best at what its job is being hired to do. And the suite will be more coordinated together over time. So that is how you do successful suites all the way back from Lotus to Office to Microsoft 365. And so we think a lot about category leadership as well as making sure it comes together as an entire suite. I think our customers are demanding from us to be able to do both. So you can use one module in the suite, not use the rest. We'd love it if you use all four. You'll get the most value as you use all of them together, of course. We were just having a leadership conversation yesterday. Like, what would we prefer? Would we prefer more customers using one module or more customers using two or more? Of course, we prefer two or more. But if you have discretionary, do you want one additional customer that uses a new module? Do you want an existing customer that uses the second? And, you know, the answer, of course, was both. Although in the early days of Viva, you know, it's great if more customers get exposed to that initial first taste of Viva, and then it will expand as time goes by.
So maybe kind of going in a little bit more detail on the modules. So as you mentioned, that some of these modules are just, well, not maybe repackaging, but there was some alternative options or existing options today. And so if we look at, say, like the learning module, I know that, you know, working with organizations kind of during this time, you know, we were always deploying like the Microsoft Learning Pathways. So can you talk about, you know, the differences between like the learning module within Viva, the learning pathways, and where that, you know, kind of is going?
Yeah. And this gets to the strategy of it. It is indeed tricky to help everybody understand how a new product and a new suite is born within an existing one. It would be a lot easier if we just said Microsoft Viva is brand new, adopted a new, like it would be a lot easier podcast. We'd be able to explain that to you. But that, I've been working on Microsoft for 16 years, that would be fundamentally letting customers down. We need to bring customers along on this journey. One of the biggest mistakes I see, sort of call it the new Coke mistake, right? When, if you remember in the 80s or 90s, new Coke decided like, Pepsi was getting share. What if we just created a new formula and stop selling the old one? Like, bad mistake. And so it is absolutely about bringing customers along. So some of these things are indeed, not intentionally so, like leverage the investments people have been making. Like Connections is really the future of SharePoint portals. And your existing SharePoint portal with, you know, one running a PowerShell script for Teams can be now shown in Teams. That is our initial value. Yes, over time, you'll see us talk about Connections more and more. But existing portal customers, those that have been on this journey with us for 20 years, absolutely are partnering with Microsoft to be brought along. On learning and learning pathways in particular, I mean, I would characterize learning pathways as a set of awesome templates that configured Microsoft 365, really help people get started, especially learning how to use Microsoft 365. Well, learning is a whole entire product with a suite of integrations to LinkedIn and third-party learning providers. So going forward, learning pathways will be one of the learning providers within learning, is maybe the easiest way of thinking about it. And the go forward energy will be on Viva Learning and all the scenarios that you saw on learning pathways. Are within a very close partner team was responsible for learning pathways. And I know they've been working deeply to make sure that there's no Sophie's choice between learning pathways and learning at all, just sort of just like Connections gets rolled into the learning product.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned on Connections, like, you know, deploying maybe a Teams app and maybe pointing to the learning pathways as, you know, as kind of that first step. And then, you know, the enhancements with Connections and the, you know, the full navigation of the SharePoint site and the integrations into the client and eventually into mobile. So that's definitely, like, you can see kind of that new evolution of these, where these were maybe trying to go before and how they've been kind of packaged in a more scalable way. Into the third module, talking about insights. So there's kind of two layers of insights right now. There's, you know, kind of the personal insights and manager insights. Can you just talk about kind of the different focus of how insights tackles those two different personas?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Insights product because it more than anything speaks to our ambition in Viva to reach out to more than just IT within the organization. You know, the types of insights and the types of outcomes that Viva Insights helps drive in terms of helping people be connected and work better together and have a healthier environment. Like those, you know, mainly many stakeholders, but the human resources department cares deeply about that. And we really do see Viva as bringing new conversations into the vendor buying decision, including HR, and making sure we're providing the tools that HR needs to solve some of their most important outcomes, you know, putting the employee at the center. And so, you know, Aviva Insights has long been invested in that, and it's sort of now the tip of the spear in the Aviva product. I think it's the one that speaks most directly to human outcomes that that organizations care about versus just deploy this new portal, create a new destination. And, you know, in terms of manager employee, yeah, we think that's very durable. I think you'll see over time the notion of manager employee and other roles be codified throughout the suite, you know, connections being having a different view for manager versus employees, learning similar. We're really thinking hard. It's super early thinking, but like, what are the roles? What are the core schemas? What are the core concepts that need to span all of Aviva? And I think Insights is farther ahead in sort of codifying those particular concepts into the product. And I think one of the question before, what's the like, is Aviva going to be a coordinated suite? I think you'll see those concepts as they span all of Aviva be super important to helping people understand the value of adopting all the modules and how they all work together.
Nice, Adam. Thank you. So we have this notion of our concept of SharePoint syntax, and you know, mm-hmm. it talks about using advanced AI and machine learning to teach and amplify human experiences, which is pretty powerful statement. Automation of content processing, transforming content into knowledge. So maybe just spend a bit of time talking about how topics and how it ties into or is even different from SharePoint syntax.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. So, and it gets into sort of the SharePoint syntax and Aviva topics used to be branded together under one project called Project Cortex. And as we went through the pandemic and saw the rise of Aviva, it made more sense to take half of Cortex, the topics product, and align it to Aviva. And then sort of say, hey, syntax, sure, it's related to employee experience, but it's really heart and soul more of another scenario and put it elsewhere. And that is complicated. And I apologize for that. Like, that is churn. And the only thing I would say is that, like, we work open with the community, with customers. The only way you can do that is to share relatively early plans with the best way that we know how we're going to package the goods. We put the project label on it to know that, hey, this is a project we're talking about, not final product. And the only thing I can say is that, you know, I prioritize co-developing with customers in the community incredibly deeply. Part of that's going to mean like, okay, take a step back. That framing I had for you, we're going to change it on you a little bit. And so, yeah, Aviva Topics, you know, a bold mission, a 10-year journey to transform the way knowledge is consumed and harvested in the 2020s. Like, it's been tried before. Knowledge management petered out 10, 15 years ago, but the AI tech has matured. The cloud didn't exist back then, the ability to rapidly iterate. I have so many reasons where I am like, same user job, same problems, but can be solved for real this time, for like double realsies. I don't think that's a Canadian thing, but we can be keener about it. Is that it? Is that a good Canadian thing? And that is absolutely, this knowledge network is heart and soul with what employee experiences is. Syntax is also awesome, and it uses AI just like Topics did, but it is more around content understanding. It's more about extracting out business intelligence from the content. And, you know, there's many ways. And, you know, of course, if you extract out business intelligence, it should go into your knowledge network. So the two work very well together. And that's why the same team built them. But over time, I want you to think about SharePoint Syntax as the beachhead as Microsoft helps customers more and more with content services and large document repository deployments. Think about giant contract repositories where people are doing a bunch of business processes on top of them. Think about like banks needing to process bank statements. Think about, you know, all the reasons you have a vat of a bunch of documents together. Syntax right now has one feature in it. It's content understanding. Over time, it'll have great, you know, ability to search, a great, you know, all the sort of checklists of features that you can imagine in content services. And, you know, recently Forrester called Microsoft the undisputed leader in content services in their latest wave. And you know, so taking all that energy and creating that center of gravity in Syntax is really what we're doing there. You could, if for those that have been following SharePoint for a long time, it's like the future of the doc center, the future of the record center, future of those scenarios. And they do interact, but I, to be blunt with you, I think we saw such huge opportunity that keeping them as one thing didn't make sense. There is so much the community and customers and Microsoft can do in content understanding and content services. And there's so much we can do in Microsoft Viva and employee experiences that we really thought creating two centers of gravity that interact rather than trying to brand them and talk about them as one thing was the best path forward. So I hope that made sense. I know because we have to retrain, you know, previous things, it can be hard to understand, but that's our strategy. And I'll just be, you know, upfront about it.
Yeah, no, it does. And thank you. I know it's a complicated topic for sure. And the pandemic complicated things. So it makes sense, you know, to retool sometimes. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
So maybe just get into a little bit about how folks can get started with topics and selecting knowledge managers. For example,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe like how might one get into that? Like what would be the first steps in terms of getting started with topics and knowledge?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's early still. We sort of finally GA'd in February, and we're just starting to see patterns of customers emerge. You know, we had a you know, a global consulting firm decide to turn on topics for everybody and allow complete crowdsourcing of topics, and had total trust that, you know, just like on Wikipedia, a quick edit would fix any inaccuracies, et cetera, and let the thing sort of grow organically. And that is one of our most successful customers as far as we can manage on terms of engagement and all that. And that was one approach to it. You know, at Microsoft, we actually took a very different approach. We're, you know, to a certain degree, we have some of the most important data in the world stored in our organization. And so we treat risk analysis and plan for rollout of new functionality to our employees incredibly seriously. And so in that case, we had partnerships from HR as well as really key stakeholders in IT. And it was a more slow plan for rollout with every topic being curated and approved before it went live. And that's sort of another end of the spectrum. Now we actually, as we're more comfortable with how it's working, we've opened up crowdsourcing, and that was sort of the deployment was like that. So, you know, we see both ends of those spectrum. We also saw a very small customer. All customers are important. I meant small by like number of employees that work for the organization, a couple hundred that, you know, bought it for everybody and just decided that didn't really use the AI component that much. Instead, just sort of defined every project that existed, which was really well known, every customer that they had, and then used that as a really, you know, a way of quickly tagging and categorizing things on that. And so that spectrum of how regulated the rollout is and how much you want to use the AI, is it not at all? Is it an assistant? Is it really sort of the first, you know, really something you bet on, are all spectrums you can think about. And, you know, we're actually just talking about how to write that up in good case studies and share better deployment guidance based upon what we're learning with our customers in the first 6 months.
Cool. Thank you.
That's a great segue into what I wanted to ask about, Adam. Being on the front lines of Viva, I'm sure you have some real life examples of how Viva was used in certain scenarios to achieve a business outcome or even like a people outcome. Maybe you could just share with us some of those scenarios and what it looked like.
Yeah, we just mentioned a couple in the topics area. So that's a very crisp example of that. You know, in the connections area, what I'm seeing is a lot of folks, you know, are using connections as a way of informing people about return to the office or even still on pandemic guidance. And so, you know, we had a customer, we're really trying to get to sort of adopt the mobile, although it was a little early, and they're like, hey, it's okay, we don't have mobile just yet. What I really want is just someplace where in Teams, I can really inform people how work from home is going to work in a way that is consistent. It's a source of truth and it's all in one place. And so that was perfect. They created a SharePoint portal and then hooked that up through connections. And then we're seeing a lot of modernization, still a classic SharePoint or even of a modern communication and home site, getting more visibility and even more modernization by using connections, where they're then using it to define global nav and putting it within Teams. And so that's another key one as well that we've seen. you know, Mott MacDonald is another example for topics. There's a public case study that is wonderful about how they've really sort of embraced, similar to the themes I was just talking about, sort of they wanted to define a knowledge network, and they, before they had heard about topics, and they were actually, they helped co-design with us the topics experience, and they've been an early adopter, really just sort of, you know, institutionalizing knowledge as part of their, as part of the way they work, and are really, that maps very well to topics being in the flow of work.
Yeah, that's great. And I've personally heard of several companies using the insights module for that employee engagement, the manager relationship, just having oversight over the employee, engaging them. So I'm sure you've probably seen examples of that out in the field too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I can actually speak to it personally. I use the insights module I just blogged about my own calendar audit and how I use my time and thinking about all of that. And, you know, I use the insights thing on a very frequent basis to sort of see if I'm, you know, meeting, doing skip levels with one-on-one with my directs and my team, you know, that balance between where I'm spending time and email and meetings. And then, you know, I still actually, those nudges in Outlook about not sending email after hours and all those types of things, I find really useful for sort of like gating me into the good, healthy habits. So.
Yeah. Good example. Last thing I was curious about is where Viva is headed. Nothing specific, but just sort of from a high level. I think we talked about, we could probably expect the modules to get a little more integrated together for a better overall experience. But anything else, just sort of like high level that you want to share in terms of what we can expect in the next, I don't know, year or two, where Viva's headed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're going to co-design and go on a journey with customers together. Absolutely. So part of where we're going is really like taking, you know, join us on the Viva journey, give us feedback and see where it takes us. Probably the biggest thing that I'll say at a meta level is, yeah, we will have, you know, category leadership, to use the buzz phrase. So we will go deep in all the modules that exist, and we will make sure that there are core concepts, core UX, core feel of all the Viva modules as they, as you use them as one particular unit to accomplish business objectives that would span all the modules. And I wouldn't be surprised if we throw in a couple new modules along the way. You know, Viva is an expansive suite where we are interested in solving that holistic problem of helping customers find their resilience and, you know, connect with employees and exemplify their culture and talk about key HR workflows that everybody, you know, knows and needs to do. So.
Yeah. And you just reminded me of one more question. As customers adopt this, and they do want to give feedback, what's sort of the primary one or two means or methods they should use to provide the feedback?
Yeah, I mean, there's most, I don't know if all, but I think almost all Viva modules either have shake and send on the mobile device or a give feedback button in the product itself. We look at that, we triage that. Most of us have, you know, customer feedback rotations where we, you know, trade off making sure all that feedback gets to the right teams. So that's really an awesome way. You know, the tech community is also something we read. You know, you can leave comments on posts. There's even, you can create your own posts. And so the Microsoft tech community is really a great way of interacting. And then, you know, the Microsoft and even our third party conferences that are run throughout the world, we're starting to send people again in person, you know, as they exist. Microsoft conferences are still mostly remote, but there's starting to be some third party in-person conferences. And regardless of the mode of delivery, that's just an area where we collect some rich feedback. And, you know, I it's just an awesome way of just, you know, talking with fans, talking with people who really, the community who, you know, make a living on helping this be deployed. And it's some of the richest feedback I ever, as a product team, we ever get about the product too. So that's another way.
Yeah. We're all collectively missing the in-person rich, discussions about all the products, including Viva. So hopefully that returns.
Yeah. Soon. Yeah. Some of us are going to SharePoint Fest in, Chicago. And then I think when I get back, in a little bit, there's talk about how we're going to do that. There's a event in Vegas. I think it's the M365 collaboration conference, that I think we're going to try to make sure we have a presence at. So, and I'm eager to hear about the Ignite plans in the fall. I'm not totally sure where all that's landing, but, you know, that I'm sure there'll be some announcements on that at some point too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well,
back to you, Habib.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. Yeah, I was going to say that's awesome. I know that, yeah, we're all looking forward to these in-persons and getting back together again. But I really appreciate you coming on, Adam. I think it was really important. Like, we wanted to have this Viva series. And, you know, it was really important, I think, for us to level set with everyone in our audience as far as, you know, sort of where Viva came from, sort of what the experiences of Microsoft that you're looking for, and sort of the future side of things, right? And then, you know, as we dig deep into the topics themselves on another level in future sessions, I think it was really good to have you on, and really appreciate you sharing your insights and your experience with us. Really appreciate that.
No, it was a pleasure to be here. And anybody who wants to find me on Twitter, just Adam Harmetz. I'm happy to take feedback that way as well and engage with the community. It's actually part of a really fun part of my job. So
awesome. And yeah, Inspire should be coming up, I think, shortly. So probably we're hoping to have some, I would hope to maybe see some announcements coming out, whether on Viva or not. I'm sure there's going to be announcements on anything on the M365 space. So look forward to that as well. But again, thanks for coming on. Thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks everybody.
Take care, everybody. Thanks.